Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
That's why we have to believe that God's going to raise up a generation that will move forward. That's why we have to believe for the worship leaders and the children's workers and the youth leaders and those that have a heart of compassion that will go to the broken and the lost and say, listen, there is a different way. There's a way if you choose to stand and to stop walking away from God but start walking to God. There's a way through your circumstances. Thank you, church. Whatever we've done it unto the Lord. And he's been gracious to us in 2014. And I have no doubt that he will be as gracious to us in 2015. Last year we invested in people. We invested and you invested in people. You invested in Susan and you invested in myself. You invested in buildings. We invested and we've seen lives change. I'm in a privileged position because as senior minister, I see things that you don't get to see. I get text messages that you don't get to read. I get to sit with people and help them believe that God can drag them through into his plans and purposes, can push them through into his plans and purposes, can lift them up out of the mud and the mire and move forward. I've been privileged and I've seen lives change. So I want to say to you, church, you have invested in lives being changed in 2014, and I want to encourage you to keep on and keep moving forward to 2015. As we move into this year, our vision is the same. We want to see lives changed for the salvation of the Lord to come and to go out and for people to receive. How will they receive? By preaching. How will they preach? By somebody telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to do that? You and me. Part of our challenge, part of my challenge, is wrapped up in Ephesians. Part of my challenge, the challenge that the Lord has given me, and the challenge that I want to give to you, is simply wrapped up in Scripture. In Ephesians 4:11 it says this, so Christ himself, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. So if you have a problem with the pastors, talk to God. He's the one that's given them to you. He's given you why? I'm glad you asked. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's you. We are here to build you up. To build you up, not to tear you down, but to build you up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to reach maturity. He wants us to be in unity. He wants us to stand. In Ephesians 4:3 it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. How? Through the bond of peace. So often we use that word, you know, I haven't got peace in my life. Well, Christ is peace. He's love. He's hope, he's joy. And whatever you're going through, you can still go through that turmoil. As we saw today, yet still have peace. Was I concerned? Yes. Did I have to trust God? Yes. Once I trusted God, peace came into my heart and I could carry on with church. Not because I don't love God's people, but because I've got to know that God is in control. And if God is in control, he don't need me and he doesn't need you. What he does need is for you to believe that he's in control. Because as we give it to him, I can remember some years ago a sister who went to the Catholic Church, she brought an illustration and I found it very useful. And she said, I just want to share with you why we light candles in church. And she said, we light a candle because that candle represents our burden. And, you know, it's something that we can't cope with. And we light it and we say, God, here's our burden. I'm leaving it with you. And then they go. I thought, what a great illustration. So often what we do, or maybe it's just me, we say, Lord, here's my burden. I don't know if I can live without that. Am I the only one? He's become a friend. You know, it's always been there. You know, I can't quite feel the person I am unless I'm a little bit condemned when I do the wrong thing. It's a burden. God wants to be the lifter of our burdens. He wants us to walk forward. And he's enabled individuals like me to bring God's word so that you can be equipped for works of service, so that you can do the work that I can't do, that you may be mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to be full individuals. In John 1:16, it says this: out of the fullness we have received grace in place of grace. That don't make sense, does it? Out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. Play on words here. If you actually look at the two words grace, you'll see what it means. It said, God in his mercy has given us, instead of the grace of law, he's given us the grace of faith. He's exchanged one grace for another. The grace that's found only in Jesus Christ. There's a grace that we used to live under, which was the grace of the law, which if we could attain the law, if we sacrificed year after year, we'd be forgiven. That was a grace. But the writer's saying here, there's a new grace, and that's the grace of Jesus Christ, and we need to exchange one grace for the other. Yet, sometimes you will meet people who want to hang on to the old grace. They want to hang on to the law because they can function under the law, but the good news is, Jesus became the fulfillment of the law. And the reason I tell you that, it's like preaching to the converted. Pastor, we already know that we're saved by grace. You do. But maybe your neighbor doesn't. And my job description as shepherd is to nourish you with food that will equip you for works of service so that you can say, listen, under the old law, you was going to die, but under the new law, you can live. So I want us to be a church that will proclaim the goodness of God's word, to read his word, to pray, and to keep coming to church. To say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How much do you want me to give? Where do you want me to serve? Father God, how can I be the answer to the question? Then, in verse 14, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching. This is an important portion of scripture for us this year. Really important. I'm going to read it again. When we become mature Christians, Christians who understand the fullness of what we have been given, that you have been forgiven. I'm speaking to someone at the moment that feels that they've lost their salvation. That's a lie of the enemy. That's not maturity. That's a lie. God has forgiven you. Do you mess up? I'm sure you do. Do you get it wrong? Absolutely. Do you stumble and break your bone? Yes. Does God restore you? Absolutely, yes, he does. That's maturity. Knowing that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Knowing that I may stumble and fall, but he picks me up. Knowing that bad things will happen to good people, but he stays the same. And whether I live or whether I die, I do it all unto the Lord. It may sound triumphalism, but actually this is just but a whisper, the Bible says. There's an eternity for you and for me. And do you know what the good news is? He's coming back for you. Whether you die before he comes or you live and he takes you to be with him, there's a better place. And that's the truth of the gospel. So that's why we share what we share. This year is going to be a year that we mature, that we come into the fullness of Christ. 14. Then we will no longer be infants, babies that have to be bottle fed, tossed back and forth on the waves blown here and there. The reason I say tossed back and forth, use this scripture, is because it equates to something I said earlier. God is our anchor. And when he is our anchor, when Jesus Christ is your anchor, when you say, I am staying here because I belong to him, then when the new teaching comes, when a false prophet comes, you will discern and you won't be blown backwards and forwards. There's a new way to pray. There's a new thing out there where they're saying, you know, you need a spiritual guide to help you through. What a load of rubbish. All you need is Jesus Christ. Don't be tossed backwards and forwards by the wind of teaching. Rely on the solidness of his word and you will grow. I think God's calling me to go somewhere else. Is he? Did he call you to come? Well, stay. And allow yourself to be planted and rooted so that God can do something in you. And if he speaks, he'll speak loud. You don't have to worry, did he say or didn't he say? You'll know. He'll open the doors and he'll close the doors. Then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. People. We spiritualize everything, don't we? Some churches, you know, there's a demon for this and there's a demon for that. You know, things happen. And sometimes people are the ones that are at fault. And we don't need to demonize them, we just need to stand on the truth. But you need to know the truth for the truth to set you free. In this church, last year, we was trying to teach through our home groups, teach through the word at the front. If you remain in Christ and he remains in you, when the wind blows, your house will not collapse. Why? Because you're built on the foundation. We want to continue to build on what God has given us. In verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love. And that's why everything we say is because we love you. Now, love is a perverted word in Hollywood. Love has been sexualized. It's been romanticized. It's the picture of a man and a woman running towards each other on the beach, unless you've seen the advert, should have gone to Specsavers. That's how love has been portrayed, but love is patient. Love is kind. Love is slow to anger. Love does not keep any record of wrongs. Love doesn't keep reminding you of what you stuffed up in. Love says, I'm willing to stand in the gap for you. The whole body. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body in him who is the head. That is Christ. That's our prayer for you and me this year. From him, Jesus Christ, the whole body, that's you and every other believer, joined and held together with every supporting ligament. Paul puts it this way, he says, the church, and I can only speak about you, because God's not given me authority over the church down the road. He's not given me the authority over someone else's pastor. He said, son, I want you to pastor this flock. So we're talking about our church, Grace Community Church. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become, in every respect, mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined together, that's you and me, joined together by the glue of unity, one vision, one Lord, one God, one faith, knowing that he is who he says he is, held together by every supporting ligament. So we can only be held together if we all support one another. So the picture that was given me when I ministered on being planted in the church, being rooted in the word, and being connected by and protected by his people. I got two people out here. I think it was Tom and Nigel. And then I got Pippa to come and stand, and she looked like a peanut in between two big mighty oak trees. And I asked them to link hands. And I said, that's what it is to be protected. That when you go into battle, you can go, my brother's bigger than yours. That's protection. But when we support one another, when one sister is hurting, we should hurt with her. When one brother is in lack, we should help to provide for his needs. Unity. This year, I wish I could share the vision God's given me, but I can't yet. If you're willing to stay, if you're willing to support, if you're willing to pray for us, to believe that the best is yet to come, you will see it happen. If you're willing to believe that your marriage can be restored, then we'll stand with you. If you're willing to believe that your bank balance can go from negative to positive, we'll stand with you. If you are willing to believe that your health will change, we will stand with you. This is not a message on vote for Grace Community Party. This is a message of salvation. Nothing broken. This is the truth of the gospel. Are we triumphant? Yes. Do we get things wrong? Yes. Do we suffer? When we are cut, do we bleed? Of course we do. But God stays the same. And if we keep our eyes on him, I'm saying, church, that nothing will be impossible. When you look at the story of the Tower of Babel, God came down, the Godhead came down and said, if we don't do something about this, there is nothing that they won't be able to do if they work in unity. And if that can happen with a load of babblers, a load of people that says we're going to be as big as God, what about us who are believing that we are in him, that we serve him, that he protects us, that we include him in everything we do? Surely the same is true. Surely God would look down, he'd come down, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and say, surely if they continue to move and walk as one, in unity, there's nothing that they can't put their hand to that cannot be accomplished. poetic or true. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's the responsibility of you and me, as each of us do the work God's called us to do. I brought this sponge on the back of what Andy Bradley brought last week, so that we could all have a wash. No, I didn't. I wanted to bring an illustration. Now, I went to this prayer meeting yesterday, and there was lots of overheads and really fancy technical stuff, so I thought I'd do what I do best, and that's something basic, because I'm not into technology. I use my phone to ring and receive text messages, and that's it. But some of you are. This represents the fullness of God. You know, I like to say like this, salvation is nothing broken, nothing missing. Can I invite our worship team back, please, at this point in time, because time is getting on. This represents the fullness of salvation. And God wants to come in and inhabit our space. This is us. This is you. So, you know, I know that I can be direct with some people. So I'm going to say, Chris at the back, this is you, okay? This represents your life. And what happens is this. This water represents the Spirit of God. And God says, come and drink. Come and drink. Come and taste and see that I am good. And we pray, Lord, come and inhabit the spaces of our life. And what happens is this. There comes a point where we look at us in him and we're still dry. And the reason we're dry is because we hold on too tightly to who we are in ourselves, and we don't allow ourselves to say, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. That's the truth of God's word. That's the truth of living. I've said in my life, Lord, come and take charge of this part of my life, but I hold on to it so tightly. I say, Lord, my finances are yours. No, I'm not going to do that. I hold on to it too tightly. But there came a point in my life when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I had been dogged by bereavement from the age of 8 years old. I lost family members in tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And I hardened my heart and I would not let God in. And then there came a day where God softened my heart and he said, son, drink. And I did. And the only difference was I said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And as we do that, as we say, Lord, I'm taking a grip off of my life and I'm allowing you in, he fills us. Poetry or true? He fills us. But here's the truth. He fills us, but we leak. So we have to keep coming back and saying, God, fill me afresh. God, fill me afresh. May I say to some of you today, if there's areas in your life that you haven't seen the breakthrough, let God in. Soften your heart and say, God, I give you this part of my life. Lord, I give you my relationships. Lord, I give you my finances. Lord, I give you my health. Lord, you know every time I go to work, that person does nothing but ridicule me. I give him, her to you. As you do that, God will fill you. And then what will happen is there'll be less of you and more of him, and it won't bother you. You'll go into work, go and bring it on. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. In a spiritual sense, it will not bother you. Why? Because love is patient. Love is kind. Love is slow to anger. Love does not keep record of wrongs. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. But please, can I say, because we love you, will you soften your heart this year and say, I'm going to keep my mouth closed and my heart open, and let's see what God does. Let's stand, let me pray, and then we'll have one worship song to finish because of time, and see what God does. Let's stand, church. In the difficulties of today's service, I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit has been present. It's not what I say, it's what he says. It's not what I do, it's what he has done. It's what you will believe for yourself because of the word that God has spoken to you. Can I just ask you to say amen to this prayer, if you want to. Simple prayer, just amen means, yes, Lord, let it be so according to your plan and purpose. Father God, I thank you that today you've given me an opportunity to open my hand to your plans and purposes. Lord, I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. There's been circumstances that have tried to stop me being who you've called me to be. Lord, I have problems in my health, in my life, in my relationships, in my finances. Father God, your word says the mind of the righteous is blessed. So bless my mind, Lord. Father God, help me to understand and to know that it's not my will, but your will. And Lord, that this is the year that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, as I open my hand to the hardness of the life that I once lived, will you soften me? Will you correct me? And will you direct me into paths of righteousness that I may be holy before you, that I may be the individual that you call to speak the gospel to someone else, that I may usher in kingdom in 2015. I ask this in Jesus' name. Fill me, Holy Spirit, afresh. And all God's people said, Amen. We're going to take up our tithe and offering and we're going to sing to the Lord.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.